Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. As always, a very rich passage for wherever you cut the Bible, it will be rich and deep and wide. Here a little, there a little, because all we can take is a little. And some of us don't even want to take that, for we're living in a day and time where people will not endure sound doctrine. But that's all right. Sound preachers still need to preach sound doctrine in season and out of season. I want to preach in your hearing by the grace of God a simple message, and all pastors who preach or who attempt to preach expository messages will tell you that God has a way of taking His word and making it so timely and so when you hear this title, this is not contrived. This is not planned. We're just moving on to the next passage on prayer. And this happens to be the next passage on prayer, right at the beginning of another contentious presidential campaign season. Make America godly again. Make America godly again. Part 1, Praying Through the Bible, number 362. That means that we have preached on prayer and actually prayed 361 Wednesday nights in a row by the grace of God over the years. Please turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. I do want you to notice now, because we focus on kings and for all that are in authority, God wants us to pray for with supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, women, boys, and girls. That includes our enemies, especially. God wants us to pray for everybody, not just the king, not just the president, but everybody. And for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The reason why Chicago is not like this, not quiet and peaceable, is because somebody, namely the church, is not praying. In the words of Leonard Ravenhill, Chicago, churches in Chicago, not all, are playing instead of praying. Excuse me. The reason why Baltimore is in the mess that it is in is because the people of God are playing and not praying. And this is why last week, I believe 60 plus people got shot in Chicago. That is inexcusable. There's no quietness. There's no peace. Life in all godliness and honesty, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You say, preacher, why do you live in the neighborhood you live in with this? You know why? Because there's quiet and there's peace. I like quiet and I like peace. I don't like to see people hanging around my porch or near my porch or on in my yard or across the street. I don't like folk hanging around and watching my house and watching when I leave. I have God has blessed me with sons and daughters, and in this day and time, you got to watch. You got to watch for your sons and your daughters, because we have many sick, demon-possessed people all around. And yes, they could be even in my neighborhood, but it's not likely. I live in neighborhoods that the police have a strong, respected presence. I am black, but I'm for the blue. You make no mistake about it. And I'm for the brown, the sheriff department, anybody, everybody, even when they pull me over. Yes, sir, here's everything you need right here. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Here's a gospel track. Thank you for your service. I like to live in places where there's law and order. Everybody who lives around me, they have one, two, or three guns. And it's very clear, if anybody start any mess around here, we're gonna help you. We're gonna help you. Oh yes. I don't know if you all saw the video the other day. Two youngsters walked up on an older man who was raking his yard or cutting his grass or something and trying to rob him. He had a piece, it had to be Texas. He had a piece on the side hanging out. It was not in his pocket. On the side, he pulled the gun, and that robbery was done away with. I live in that kind of neighborhood. They don't play, okay? We got the police officers who don't play. The sheriff department, they don't play. But we got some folk who live in my neighborhood who don't play. You won't be starting no mess up in here. And I love living in a law and order neighborhood. I like to be able to leave my house and leave my wife and children in the house while I go and take care of certain things. And I don't worry about them. I'm not saying things can't happen. They can. But it's not likely where I live at. And I would suggest you move to a place like that. Don't hate. Don't get mad. Get E-Trade. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. All that I just read is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is what God wants. This is what Jesus wants. For you to live quiet, in a quiet situation, with peace. You'll not be hearing no gunshots, man. Children getting shot and all of that foolishness. No. You need to pray for the authorities. Pray for the president. Pray for the congressmen, congresswomen. Pray for the mayor. Pray for your police officers. Please. Who will have all men to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. Here's another verse that lets you know that God wants everybody saved. Another verse talks about how that he's not willing that any should perish. How dare some folks lie on God. God is choosing some for heaven and choosing others for hell. God does not play that game. You say, preacher, why don't you rebuke the Calvinists hard? Why don't you come down hard on the Calvinists like you come down on others? I'm not a Calvinist, and I have never been one. When I was a young preacher at Baptist University of America, fresh out of the Air Force, A teacher, professor, got up talking about how that, talking about Calvinism, and I that was the first time I got hot. I got hot under the collar. I got bothered, and I almost cussed, but I didn't. But I did storm out of the classroom. Since then, I don't mess with the Calvinists. They don't bother me too much. You know why? Because I know they're saved. I know the Calvinists are saved. I'm not worried about them. Now, they may think they're special. And they often... they oftentimes do think they're special. They're a proud bunch. They're an arrogant bunch. Some of them are borderline racist, but that's all right. I don't mess with them too hard because I know they're saved. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, number one, they believed on Christ, and number two, they were chosen. So I'm not worried about them. We can fellowship a little bit. Not 100%, but we can fellowship a little bit. Because normally, my dear Calvinist brethren, they love to argue points. And I don't have time for arguing. And they seldom win souls. And so I don't have time to deal with them too much. But anyway, for there is God, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So these are verses here that make preachers want to preach. You got to hold them back. God has to hold them back because these are verses that make real preachers want to preach. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, Paul said. We got some preachers who are volunteers. And it said he was not called. And he does not call himself a preacher either. He calls himself a communicator. I don't know what that is. But he said he's not called. He said, I'm a volunteer. Okay. Well, go sit down somewhere until you get ordained a preacher and an apostle. Stop causing havoc in the church because you're causing problems in the church because you're a volunteer, and I don't care who likes it. You're not called by God. If you were called to preach, you'd be preaching the gospel and not trying to make up stuff and cause confusion. Sit down somewhere until you get called. And an apostle, speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Paul was somebody by the grace of God. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray. Holy Father God, what a powerful passage. What a timely passage. I don't know how you do this, Lord, but you do it. And it is amazing how that you will take an expository series that somehow ends up to be so timely. I don't know how you do it. It's just amazing to me how you do that. And it's a tragedy that there are some men who don't have faith in you to just preach your word straight up. And instead of trying to find a topic, you are the topic. Your holy word is the topic. We need to just follow your holy word. So thank you. Have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. And for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our faults, and failures. Forgive us of our pride, our stubbornness, our rebelliousness, thinking that we're great when we're not great, saying peace, peace when there's no peace. Lord, help us to confess our sins and help us to repent. and turn from our evil ways. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew for those of us who are born again and saved. For I fear there's some among us and some who are participating and listening and watching live right now who go to church, but they're lost as they can be. They've never been born again. They don't have a relationship with you, and they wonder why there's still that emptiness on the inside. They don't know you. They've been slipped a Mickey. They have been deceived. They have been bamboozled by the devil. They have run amok, therefore. And we pray that you'd open their blinded eyes. Open their blinded eyes, Lord, please open their blinded eyes. Unstop their deaf ears and help them to hear the gospel and get born again and get saved. And Lord, we pray that you would cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts. For as the old saints used to say, he's always busy. Always busy. He never quits. And as soon as he gets an opportunity, after a period of a little peace, he'll pounce on the youngest ones and cause them to do great harm to your work. I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help all of us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful at all times. Help us to always keep our eye on that devil in the corner ready to pounce. And I pray that you'd give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Judas. I know people don't like for me to talk about it. The satanic demonic spirit of Tobias and Sanballat. These people that the devil controls. These people who allow the devil to control them. To just hate every good work. To despise the success of the gospel going out. Who do everything they can to hinder it. And if they have a little success, if they have a little success, because of the lack of prayer of the saints, they rejoice in things being confused and not working. These are evil, devilish people. And they're in every church. They're unfortunately in every preacher's family. And I pray that you will protect every preacher's family, every church, Lord, from this demonic spirit of Judas and Sanballat and Tobias, and give us sweet victory over these hinderers used by the devil. And we pray that over 3 million souls would hear the gospel and be saved through this ministry. If that has not been done already, we pray for over 3 million Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, have your Holy Spirit to continue to gather all who you would have to be with us today all around the world. And Lord, we thank you for all of the people who do come and they invite others. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I have to give a shout out to my oldest son, who Daniel White IV, who is not with us today. He's on a mission. Pray for him. And I have to give a shout out to him, because before he went on that mission, he wrote about 30 sermons and left them for me. And of course, I have to get in there and fix them up. And my other son helps with that. And my daughter, Daniqua, helps with that as well. You can't preach every day without help. You need some good help. And I thank God he has been a great help in that area. He has not done everything well, but he has done that pretty, has done a pretty good job. And I thank the Lord for him. And so he left this sermon message for me, and he's done a fantastic job. But be that as it may, he can write pretty good like his father, but he can't preach like his father. So I do the preaching. Be that as it may, the title of this message is "Make America Godly again. That ought to be the goal. Make America Godly Again, Part 1, Praying Through the Bible, number 362. And ladies and gentlemen, before I get into the message, I have said in recent months that America will never be great again until we repent of our sin. Now, I know that the lying politicians will tell you that America is great again, but she is not. We're in a bad way. And I guess the motto now for the Republican Party is, let's keep America great. Let's keep America great. America is not great, and will never be great again until we repent of our sin in America. That includes the president on down. It includes the previous president, President Obama, as well, President Trump, and President Bush. They all need to repent, get their hearts right with God, turn from their evil ways, and so does everybody in Congress and everybody in political office, but most importantly, the church. The church needs to repent and get our heart right with God. Dr. Tony Evans said that we ought not to be with the elephant or the donkey. We ought not to get caught up with the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. We ought to be the referee. And sad to say, team referee has not done a good job. Dr. Tony Evans has tried to warn this country for years, but here we are, embroiled in the mess that we're embroiled in and have been embroiled in for many, many years. But he is right. We ought not to be all caught up with one party or the other. We ought to be the Christian party, the referee between the parties, telling both parties the truth. And the truth of the matter is, the Democrat Party is wrong on many things, and so is the Republican Party. This does not mean you ought not to vote. Go vote, but vote based upon the issues. But if you are able to pass out a pamphlet for a sinful, lying politician, make sure you pass out a pamphlet about Jesus Christ, the truth, the way, and the life. Christians in America today are rightly concerned about the direction of our nation. Previous presidents have not helped the country in the way that they should have. And this president, we do thank God for some of the good things that he's doing that we as Christians like, but he's not helping in the way that he could help as well. And I know we're living in this strange time when you can't say anything about the president, the previous president. People were afraid to say any, black preachers were afraid to say anything negative about the first black president. How strange. Even though he had lied to the church, he lied to pastors, he lied to Rick Warren, black and white pastors who tried to help him, saying that he was for traditional marriage when he knew all along he was not, and that he was going to try to promote not only homosexuality but homosexual marriage, which I don't even think Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah even thought about. And so we have the mess we have in our country today. And here we got a man married to a man running for the presidency of the United States. See, if I was running and I was on the stage with the Buttigieg, I would just simply say, as soon as he opened his mouth, man, you're married to a man, so sit down and be quiet. Okay, yeah. Not one black person has stated that they're going to stand with you. Not one. You know why? Because that goes against the church. It goes against the Bible. It goes against the black community. And yes, there's some hypocrisy because they let Obama do what he did. And now we got a strange situation where prominent white pastors won't rebuke President Trump. We're living in strange. Where are the Nathans? Where are the Elijahs? Trump can say some of the dumbest things, craziest things, and we don't hear nothing from Franklin Graham. We don't hear nothing from Jack Graham. We don't hear nothing from the preacher at First Dallas Baptist. Just like we didn't hear anything from the black pastors. Only a few, like myself, rebuked Obama. And I told him that things are not going to end well because he has chosen to have the government to sanction homosexual marriage. And now President Trump is doing the same thing. Remaining silent and saying it's okay for Buttigieg to be married to a man. It's okay. Homosexuality is okay. Wish the homosexuals well. The white preachers who were condemning Obama for letting that happen won't say anything to Trump. Hypocrites, phonies, and fakes. Liars. So it's no wonder why we have lying politicians, because we have lying preachers who are all tied up with them in their lies. And oftentimes is based upon, sadly, not principles, but race on both sides. You remember all the unnecessary marches? All that was Obama and his people had that going on. Not just Black Lives Matter. They wanted that upheaval to go on. The condemning of police officers. Shooting of police officers. Strange happenings, and I may die. I may get assassinated. I may get killed for saying these things, but it's true. It's a bunch of foolishness all up in Charlotte, marching in the street at night. And all of that ended when Obama was voted out, for the most part. Now we got Trump overtly using race to solidify his base. Nobody says anything. Where are the Nathans who just come in and say, now listen, I love you, Mr. President. I'm praying for you. I want the best for you. I want you to do well. But this right here is stupid. Even the Fox News people are saying, telling Trump in their nice little sweet way, tone it down, man. Tone it down, man. Don't you're going to cause a serious problem for yourself. Be that as it may, believers of all ages, allow me to go back and share this with you, because I went off a little bit there. Christians in America today are rightly concerned about the direction of our nation. This is not strange. Believers of all ages have had to wrestle with societies that seem to be moving further and further away from God in biblical principles and just common decency. There's some things you don't need the Bible for to tell you that is wrong. You know it's wrong. The worst of those societies, such as that of medieval Europe, moved into paganism, idolatry, and permissive sin, and fornication and adultery under the supposed auspices of the church. Even the popes were getting women pregnant and killing babies. He said, "Preacher, you ought not to say that. I said it because it's a historical fact." Having sex with the nuns. However, the Christians of yesteryear knew something, at least, that Christians in America today seem to have forgotten. Godliness in public society, in the public square, can only be regained by inner spiritual transformation, being born again, not outward social reform. And some even back then didn't really realize that until Martin Luther came along. So as we sit in the first quarter of what will be yet another long and rancorous national election season, and I feel sorry for some, let me just say this, I feel sorry for some of these people, so-called, running for president. They're being put up by the Democrats, knowing that they don't have a chance. What a motley crew of folk on the Democrat side. Some of the big hitters are not running because they know it's going to be a massacre. I heard someone say that Obama saw that crew last night and said he's going to vote for Trump himself. I said, "Oh my soul." We got one lady, bless her heart. I don't know if she claim to be a preacher or a spiritual lady talking crazy. The truth of the matter is, well, let me move on. Christians of both political persuasions are already gearing up to throw their time, their money, and labor into work that they believe will bring godliness and Christian influence back to public policy and public life in America. However, if we are to make America godly again, we must do it God's way. We must do it Jesus's way. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's amazing that the evangelical church has missed this totally for the past 100 years. The only reason why I am against abortion, the killing of babies, is because I got born again December the 19th, 1979. Before that, I thought it was just a medical procedure. Now, this is going to hurt your heart because before I got saved, I got a young lady pregnant. We did not want the baby. We wanted the sex, but we did not want the baby. She told me we needed some money to pay for the doctor to abort the baby. I got the money up. She went to the doctor's office. I went with her. She went to the back. She bought a little something in a tissue to me, and we walked to her house and threw it in the bushes. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anything of it until my mother somehow, see, You got to understand, God tells parents things, okay? I don't know how he does that. But God tells parents things that you don't tell them. Amen, lights. Especially your mother. God will tell your mother things about your life that you did not tell her. You did not even think about telling her. You have no plans on telling her. All I know is I came home one day. My mother, who hardly went into my room, not only went into my room, but I had a safe. Some of you older folks might remember, you know, Uncle so-and-so, Uncle T, or Aunt Mildred, or whoever. They'll give you a little safe that you can put coins in at the top and in a combination. Little red combination, little gray safe. I didn't keep any money in it. I kept my Dallas Cowboys. Back in those days, we didn't play video games. We played on a vibrating board. And I carried my Dallas Cowboys in that safe all out throughout the neighborhood. We played against each other. Of course, I won many, many Super Bowls. Anyway, all I know is my mother went into my safe. I still had the receipt from the doctor's office that I paid for that abortion. And somehow she got into my safe. She broke my safe, got into the safe, and looked in that safe and got that receipt, and she went ballistic. She lost it to the point that she wanted to put me into a reform school. Now, back in those days, my beloved, to be threatened by your mother to be put in a reform school, that was a horrifying thought. I didn't know why she was so angry. I know now. Because the truth of the matter is, a child was killed. Her grandchild was murdered. Now, God has, since I've been saved, God has forgiven me of that. I have apologized for that to God. I have confessed it as sin since I have been born again. But before I got saved, I didn't think anything of it. And I know you feel badly about it and for me and so forth. I understand. And if I was not delivered from it, I would not be able to tell you that story. And if I was proud about it, I would not be able to tell you that story. I'm very broken and humble about it. And I'm dead, so how you feel about me does not matter. God knoweth. But I am against abortion because I am saved. I am born again. That's the only reason why. The reason why I do not hate white people is because I am saved. I'm born again. You will not find me working with Black Lives Matter. I'm not marching nowhere. I know that's a double negative. You don't have to tell me, but it sounds better to me. I'm not marching nowhere for nothing. The marching days are over. People are marching today oftentimes just to create something and provoke something and make something happen. And it's about nothing. And there are many black folk who believe exactly what I'm saying. The reason why I'm against homosexuality is because I am saved, because I'm born again. I'm with God and with Jesus on the issue. Before I got saved, I never was involved in it. As long as you stayed away from me, don't ask, don't tell. You know, I can see you kind of funny. I don't understand that, but don't come near me with it. And behave yourself in the house of God. And that's how we dealt with it back in those days. So my point is, what do we need in our country? How can we make America truly great again? How can we make America godly again? Through preaching the gospel. There's power in the gospel. And I fear and I am afraid that there are many people who are who are preachers who don't believe in the power of the gospel anymore, and they don't preach it, and they don't believe in the power of the word of God anymore, and so they don't preach it. They don't believe in the power of preaching anymore, so they have skits. Excuse me. And I'm here to tell you there's still tremendous power in the gospel, in prayer, in the word of God, and the preaching of the gospel, in the preaching of the word of God. It is the most powerful form of communication in the world. So, dear friends, however, if we are to make America godly again, we must operate by a different playbook. A playbook that is given to us in this passage from 1 Timothy, not the playbook of politics, but the playbook of prayer. And by the way, no one is trying to poo-poo on politics. Politics has its place, but not above the power of the preaching of the gospel. So that is what we're going to talk about and preach about by the grace of God, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, over the next few weeks. And today, that is the introduction. And that is directed to Christians, believers. If you're with us today and you are not a believer in Christ, you have never been born again, you have never been saved, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to share with you how you can be saved from hell through preaching the gospel and get your life turned around and get your life directed to heaven and not to hell to come in the hell we're living in right now. Your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer, if you will. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. We die in so many ways. We die a million deaths because of sin. All of the pain and heartache is a form of death throughout our lives. But we die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the funeral home. Our bodies are buried in a grave. Just the other day, we were trying to get somewhere and wondering what the holdup was. It's a funeral procession, a long line of cars going to the graveyard. Why? Because people die. And people, if you have not noticed, are checking out at a fast clip. You may be next. So please understand and accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Just slow down just a little bit. Dear friends, just slow down in your life just a little bit and pause for a minute and get your eternal life insurance policy by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know you got a whole lot going on, and I know you have a to-do list. And yes, your to-do list is important. You know why it's important? Because you have a deadline. You will die one day. So you better do as much as you can, as fast as you can. But you need to hold up a minute, sit down for a minute, and meet Jesus before you check out of here. And you could check out of here today. Nobody's trying to scare you. I'm stating facts. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I share that with you because I want you to understand there's two places, one or two places you can go when you die. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's no limbo, there's no purgatory, there's no waiting room for the judgment. There's no bail. You can't get out and run a while, run around. There's none of that. No ankle braces that you can wear at your house until you get judged. No. It's heaven or hell. This happens immediately after you die. Okay? Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, yes, the lowly, loving Jesus, the meek and lowly Christ, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any other preacher in the Bible. And Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. And he does not want us to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven to be with him. So he can tell us some things. Help us to understand why he loves us so much. This is a good deal. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell when you die. You can go to heaven. And yes, Jesus will change a whole lot of things in your life. And yes, everybody who has been saved will tell you your life will be better, but you will not be perfect in this life. And you will have trouble and you will have tribulation and all of that in this life. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that God's going to bless you with a new house and a new car and your marriage is going to stay together. I'm not going to tell you that lie. But your destination will be changed. I can guarantee you that based upon the Word of God. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That includes you. Red, yellow, black, or white. All are precious in God's sight that he gave his only begotten Son. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was speaking of himself. That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. If you don't have that word in your Bible, you got the wrong Bible. Whosoever. That includes you again. Believeth in him. Very simple. Very easy. Just believe in Christ. You say, easy? Yes, easy. It's not hard. Believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell. But have everlasting life where? In heaven with God, with Jesus, with the angels, and with the saints. That's the place to be. You talk about peace. You talk about a quiet neighborhood. It's going to be that and more. For millions of years. Some of you folks have questions. I don't. But it's going to take you all millions of years, I guess, to ask those questions. You're going to have something to do for you to understand some things. I don't know. But it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a trillion times better than living on earth, my dear friend, I assure you. So just believe. In your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered and bled and died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God for you and me so that we can live eternally with him. It's very simple. It's not hard. Why would God make it hard and difficult? For ignorant, evil people like we are. He wouldn't do that. He made it very easy. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to shake the pastor's hand to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or to the preacher to be saved. You don't have to throw any money on the altar. You don't have to run around the church ever. You don't have to speak in tongues ever. You don't have to even get baptized to be saved. Now, I know pastors, they can't stand me to say things like that, but it's true. It's true. Do you remember the thief on the cross? He never got down and gave an offering. He never got down off the cross and got baptized. He never got down and walked down the aisle of the church to get saved. or to tell the preacher he got saved? Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise, just by your faith in me." So put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin debt has been paid. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save you. And when you pray, be sincere about it. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you truly get saved, God will change your life as well in so many ways. I can't even begin to explain it to you. So pray with me right now if you want to be saved today. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents before. And I have taken your holy name in vain before, along with many other sins. And so I am guilty, and I understand that I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you to grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. By God's grace, we love you too. And may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.